Okay, if you'd please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. All right, going to call the meeting to order. I'm going to start with a roll call. I'm going to start down to my left tonight.
Good evening, Rachel Ulrich, representing Area 1.
My right.
Michael Teasdale, Area 2.
Good evening, Mark Lissiger, Area 3.
Good afternoon, Ramon Flores, Trustee, Area 5.
Early Kid, Area 4, President of the Board. And I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Dr. Morales.
Hi, Chantel Morales, Ventura County Superintendent of Schools. I'll have my team introduce themselves, but I do want to point out that I have Dr. Juan Santos, Assistant Superintendent of HR, joining the Cabinet Dais team. Start off over there.
Good evening, Consuelo Hernandez-Williams, Associate Superintendent Student Services, and it is such a pleasure to also welcome Ms. Michelle Harding, one of our administrators with Student Services.
Dr. Juan Santos, Assistant Super of Human Resources, and thank you for welcoming me.
Good evening, Misty Key, Deputy Superintendent, Fiscal and Administrative Services. I would like to acknowledge our wonderful facilities team helping us out tonight, Brian and John Mesa. I would also like to acknowledge our assistants, Lisa Bork and Aurelia Romo.
Okay, all right, I get a call for the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
So we have a motion by Dr. Flores, a second by Trustee Teasdale. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any abstentions? Any rulings? Motion passes. Do we have any public comment tonight? Public comment? Okay. Let me go ahead and move on from public comment. Don't believe we have any hearings, so let's go ahead and move on to approval of minutes. Regular meeting of August 28th. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion to approve by Trustee Teasdale, second by Dr. Flores. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any abstentions? Any nays? Motion passes for the minutes. We don't believe we have any correspondence tonight. So moving on to board members' reports, I'm going to start on my actual left this time with Dr. Flores.
Hi, good afternoon. Main thing for me to report is I attended the CCB fall conference in Monterey, as used a great conference. A couple of things to note, there was an awfully large number of brand new trustees, very large turnover. So it's great to see that they felt that this was an available venue to come. Spent quite a bit of time talking to our friends from LA County. Very interesting folks. Again, they're appointed, we're elected, so just a different perspective. The sessions were incredibly informative. The main ones that stick out in my mind was the ones of charter schools. The presenters, we've seen them before. They're just so knowledgeable on this topic. And there was a session I attended with, I think, Trustee Teasdale on expulsion appeals, and it was so, for me personally, rewarding. I'm a geek. They basically went through our board policy, a lawyer, and went like line item by line item. These are the options on what you can do for an expulsion appeal. So be able to sit down in a conference room and have that dialogue with these experts, you know, which is very reassuring. The work we're doing here is also on track with what we should be doing. So a great affirmation that we're on the right track for them.
No report.
Sure. I want to, first of all, thank Lisa Bork and Superintendent Morales for helping us create a workshop at in December at the CSBA conference on the court and community schools, which I think I really thank their participation because it's a forgotten population. And I'm just glad to have them participating and supporting. I do want to echo the comments of Trustee Flores about the CCB conference. I thought it was one of the better ones I've been to. A lot of workshops like that of around expulsions that I really took away something that was helpful to this role. So I thought it was good. I'd like to spend a minute, if people would, talking about the CSBA Board of Directors that's coming up this weekend. At this weekend, there'll be a presentation by the Bylaws Committee defining what a sector is in CSBA. And for those of you who do not know, CCBE, the California County Boards of Education, is a sector. It has been called into question due to some issues over the last 6 or 7 months. And as a member of the bylaws, I cannot get into detail about what would be presented because they wanted to keep that confidential. But suffice it to say, there'll probably be a very extensive discussion about what is a sector, and then discussions after the board meeting with CCB about what a sector can do and cannot do in terms of rendering services. I actually think there's actually a positive out. There could be a very positive aspect of that because, in my opinion, CSBA has been a very siloed organization with CSBA on one hand and CCBE doing things on the other hand. You know, evidence of that is a workshop that they gave in May, a webinar where they said CSBA's service to county members. And there was no notion of anything from CCB, the conference, the governance workshop, or any service or whatever. And so I think there's suboptimal use of CSBA's resources to service actually county members. And I hope that this discussion about the role of CCB in CSBA can address that issue. And I think it could be a very positive outcome. I will keep the board updated on that as this advances, if you're interested. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
No report other than I am overwhelmed with work. I'm going to find anatomy and physiology professors. Our county has a shortage.
So if we know any, we should. If
you know anyone, Moore Park's looking, Cal Lutheran's looking, CSUCI. We're all fighting over the same two people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, just I also attended the CCBE conference. As already has been stated, a number of great presentations on a variety of topics relevant to us. One of the highlights, we thought we were going to get to hear Dr. Flores sing the national anthem. He was called up to sing the national anthem, but when they got up, unfortunately, they only wanted him to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
So I was ready.
Pleasure. He was.
I was ready. I was warmed up. I had the tea.
The look on his face was priceless when they called him up to sing. Christy Teens and I were a little shocked. We didn't know he was going to do that. But unfortunately, we didn't get to hear it. But great conference. I also had a chance to go to the grand opening at Del Sol High School. Incredible facility. When I got there, I went out and the principal came up to me and Dr. Terry Leo stared and reminded me that she had been one of my students back when she was in the seventh grade at Simi Valley. So made me feel kind of old, but felt good that she at least recognized me. So I thought that was a good good thing. So, but no, it was you can tell, I mean, a lot of folks here put in a ton of work, and our own Dr. Flores had been extremely supportive and members of this board. So it was a great day for him. It's a great facility. I think they only have ninth graders to start. Had a few conversations with a few of the students. They're really excited. So it was a real a great event for the county. So we have a number of upcoming events this week. We have quite a few back to school nights coming up. I'm not going to read them all, but this is a week of back to school nights for us. Looks like a couple next week. Principal for a Day coming up on October 17th, and CSB annual conference at the end of November. So quite a few things going on.
May I ask, so is Vex Robotics just a new name for the robotics competition that we have
supported? No, in the county, there's Vex Robotics and First Robotics are the two main ones.
Have we always done Vex? Because
the Navy supported Vex many, many years.
Okay. Yeah. We just have never advertised it on our board.
I've never seen that.
As vexed, so I just
it's kind of vexing.
No,
it is vexing.
Yeah,
that's I see what you did there. I mean, that doctor should need to work.
I'm going to turn over to Dr. Morales for a superintendent's report.
Since Trustee Flores jumped out at responding that, I want to also highlight the fact that Trustee Flores has been named the industry liaison for the K-16 collaborative among Star County as well as Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo. So thank you for representing VCOE as the industry liaison for that committee, along with Dr. Consuelo Williams and Anthony Marenko, our Director of Career Education. We're looking forward to what evolves from that collaborative. I had an opportunity to tour Del Sol with Superintendent Coy, and we stopped by and saw the principal, very impressive facility. Even though it only has ninth graders right now, I could already see the potential, especially all their industry labs that they have. They're very impressive, and I'm very excited. Folks, students will be able to access all of those services and pathways there in their home environment. It's great. I know evolving as the continual school safety seminars are going on, I really like the way they kicked off with our own district representatives. We had folks from Conejo as well as Santa Paula share anecdotes and real life situations that they encountered, how they collaborated amongst themselves with administration and law enforcement, as well as communication with parents and students on real life incidents that occurred last year. It was kind of a retrospective where everyone's learning, and it's a community of learners and community of practice, so worthy of note. I wanted to share with the trustees that I had a meeting with Supervisor Gorrell, of which he requested a meeting with leaders from Ventura County Behavioral Health, the CEO's office, the Department of Health and Human Services, as well as a team from VCOE, specifically our CHHP team, which I took Director Chris Ridge and Coordinator Suzanne Weiss, that are the primary support players for the wellness centers in our county. The impetus of the meeting was that he wanted to learn about wellness centers in our county. In all the districts that have them. It was, so we went through our standard overview and presentation of wellness centers and all the participants by districts and schools. And then the conversation shifted with topics that he was bringing up related to gender dysphoria and questioning practices that were going on in wellness centers. We were able to talk about the positive benefits of wellness centers for all students, and were able to respond appropriately to information on data that was being requested of the services of the wellness centers. I also reminded Supervisor Gorrell that the clinicians follow HIPAA and the practitioners on the education side follow FERPA, and that we will not be sharing breakdowns by class or protected class, specifically students that are LGBTQ and transgender. And I reminded him, he stated he wanted to be a champion for wellness centers, and I invited him to do so, especially as a former lawmaker and current attorney, that he knows making those types of recommendations could be considered discriminatory in nature. I say that because the vitriol in this topic is escalating throughout the state. We've seen it in different counties. For the last 4 weeks, it's been the major topic du jour in the county superintendent's meetings of sharing a lot of things that are going on. I would like to think that in our county, we can all work together and stay focused on serving students. And that means all students with the utmost respect, and that we will all stand united in doing so. But I will keep all of you apprised. If any of you hear in your areas of any activity or any questionable, concern, raising issues related to parental notification or the rights of our students, please let me know. We're watching this very closely. I've also done a lot of homework with an attorney, as well as I know a lot of our districts are. Our JPA is also doing research so that all the school districts can have support should these issues mount. I've made it clear with the superintendents that any resolution or proclamation that directs staff to violate the law is just that, against the law, and will create civil liability for the elected officials involved, as well as any the district in general. And that could prove to be very costly. In addition to that, I'd like to share later on this month, I've been invited to be a keynote speaker amongst the CIS conference, where all the attorneys that represent school districts and counties are at, to speak just about some of these issues related to students' rights. I think it's a sad state of affairs of where we're at. I'm trying to do everything we can in every circle that I'm in our county to try to keep our county calm and free of some of this going on. But I expect, as the presidential election comes, that we too may be impacted. But please let me know, because what I don't want is any district governance team, including the superintendent, to feel that they don't have any support. We will support them. And especially, we need to make sure every student is seen and visible and feels that there's leadership that's there to speak on their behalf. So I thought I'd share with you that. I'll be in Washington, D.C. Tuesday through Thursday of this week with a team put together by the Cal County Supes. It'll be VCOE, Lake County Office of Ed, Santa Clara County Office of Ed, Lassen County Office of Ed, El Dorado, and Mariposa County Office of Ed representing, will be the California delegation representing the Cal County Supes. We do have our canned, our five points that we will be covering with Congress and the Senate side on this visit. However, it's sad to say that we also have a plan B. And in the event that we are notified that there's a government shutdown that's imminent, we will be focusing on giving our feedback to key leaders in the House on the continuance resolution to ensure that education services and funding aren't interrupted. Target right now is the funding out of the Secretary of Education's entire department. And within that department is where the Office of Civil Rights lives. So that is one of the things that, should we be informed of the continuance resolution being imminent, we will shift our energy towards protecting the funding, the federal funding for education. So that concludes my report.
All right, thank you, Dr. Morales. Moving on to consent action and temporary county certificates. I know, too, there's legislation, which I believe was signed by the governor around, and if it totally gets rid of, but the 6 month where somebody retiring can come back and sub. So I didn't, and maybe a question for staff, I didn't know if that means we'll no longer get the requests from the local districts when they want to bring somebody back or not. So I don't know if you know yet, but
no, we'll take a look at that.
This, but yeah, for the future, since we're talking about the temporary county certificates. So is there a motion to
move to approve J1?
Second.
So we have motion to approve by Dr. Lizagor, second by Trustee Teasdale. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Moving on to public hearing. So open the public hearing. So I'm going to go ahead and open the public hearing.
Oh, no, you're right. I'm sorry. L1.
I'm going to go ahead and open the public hearing. Adoption resolution 2313 regarding insufficiency of instructional materials and certification of provision of standards aligned instructional materials. So, who's up on?
Dr. Williams.
For President Kidd, at this point in time, we have zero findings, which means that all of our materials are appropriately distributed and all of our students have 100% access. And if there aren't any questions from the public or any comments from the public, we would like to move forward with adopting this resolution.
Does that cover 1, 2, and 3?
Well, I make a motion to approve resolution 23-13.
We do that while the public meeting is still open.
Or do we not close the hearing yet?
Close the
hearing. Okay. Good. Close the hearing.
Now I'll make a motion.
Motion by Trustee Ulrich. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Teasdale. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstention? Motion passes. Moving up, so we're moving on to approval revisions and additions. Approval of revisions and additions to board policies.
I'd be happy to take the lead on this item. So first, we would like to apologize at the volume of policies that we brought to you guys tonight. We talked about this extensively of how many should we be bringing to your attention. Looking at how light the rest of the agenda was, we went for probably more than we would normally propose in front of you for a first reading and potential approval at your pleasure. Certainly, if you want to take this in two meetings, we completely understand because of the volume. A lot of the policies in this first section, item number 2, they are categorized as ones under your purview, either board, governance, and so on. Some of the changes are very minor in the big scheme of things. Other ones are to bring our policy up to current code. We were outdated by a couple of years with some laws that have changed, so we're bringing our policies up to date. The reason why we're bringing so many for you to look at when it comes to your board governance is because of that. Being out of line with current law doesn't serve any of us well. And so we figured that we would bring as many as we could that was within reason to bring up to date, some with just minor revisions, and then the ones that were most critical timing-wise with elections and other dates. So I will go over some of the changes in this first section, L2, highlighting just some of the details of pertinent adequate information that I believe to point out to you. Stop me at any time if you have questions. Lisa Bork went through the effort of including a finalized version with edits a marked up version so you can see exactly what it is we're proposing to change. And then in some instances, I believe we made reference or is included, or maybe not included, but the CSBA gamut example is what the basis of these changes are on. And I know that you know that we follow the CSBA gamut policy examples, and we take their examples and we structure it align with our local wording and the verbiage that we have in their practice. So with all that being said, I will start off with policy 0450. This is our comprehensive safety plan. So there's minor changes made in the updating of the names, and then there's significant changes made related to some of the newer information based on modern day times and what our safety plans have to focus on. There's a completely new section about tactical response plans and what that might look like from a policy perspective. And then also to recognize that there are certain aspects of our safety plans that are not made public for the reasons of protecting ourselves internally and our partnership with law enforcement about what those plans might look like. But for everything that can be public, of course it is. And all of the details are related to each comprehensive safety plan for each school site. And this policy provides the code sections and reference of which all of those plans follow, and that coordination with local law enforcement and CDE. Yes.
I was just wondering why it said adopted 9/11/23 for 0450.
I believe you might be on the regulation. So so as you know, the board adopts the policy, and then the county superintendent of schools adopts regulations that follow the policy. Mm-hmm. And so very good catch, Rachel. The administrative regulation was adopted on 9/11 by the superintendent to follow the board's policy related to.
Okay, so even though it says Board of Education, it wasn't our regulation, it was the county offices?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so you guys adopt the policies, and then the county superintendent adopts and revises the administrative regulations so that we can quickly respond and carry out the policies as provided. And you'll notice the date, so we've already have this one in alignment with current recommendations of how the language is. Mm-hmm. You'll also notice that the regulation is very, very detailed of what happens at each and every campus. And it's very thorough about what is included in the plan, what is not included, lots of detail. And that is in practice what we carry out on every campus. Seeing no more questions on the safety plan update, I will continue along on the first one of board policy 9000 for your category of board bylaws is the name of this classification. This particular one is updated somewhat minor in the big scheme of things. There's language tweaks, but I do want to point out, if we could go to Aurelia, if you wouldn't mind opening up 9000, and it's the version that has the edits. It's the tracked changes one is the one I'm looking at. I wanted to point out that the previous title of this particular policy, of which had not been revised since 2002, the subject line was duties and powers. And now the CSBA example has the subject line of role of the board. So that's kind of significant to change a subject line. So I wanted to point that out. All of the other details that were edited are minor in the big scheme of things. However, number four is a completely new item, and that's to bring us up to date of your responsibilities related to the local control funding formula and the associated local control accountability plan, because that is of your action to approve the LCAP and the budget. related to those regulations and the code sections. So that had us out of date since that was adopted in the year 2013-14. We did not add that as part of the role of the County Board of Education. So again, we're kind of behind in some of these policies. And updating them is critical to bring us in alignment with current times.
Smith, yes, the observation, it's subtle but also big. So this is saying that we as a county board approve and adopt our county LCFF and LCAP. We also approve charter schools, mm-hmm. but we don't approve their LCFF or their LCAP. Their local board does that.
Correct.
Small point, but worth distinguishing.
Yes, that's very good detail. Absolutely. Are there any questions on this one?
This is all language or edits from the CSBA gamut. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. And there is a section, as you're probably aware, CCBE has its own section of recommendations for our county policies. Versus school districts.
Right.
So quite a few years ago, we would always have to take the examples that were written for school districts and recognize and turn them into what it might look like for a county office of education. CSBA and CCBE have done a great job of now having their own section mm-hmm. that is already tailored towards county office of education code sections and the roles and responsibilities of the county board of education. So it makes our work easier. To have that example that's already tailored for your role versus a school district. And then we just make it local for what happens in Ventura County.
Yeah. No.
Which mostly is just naming structure of how we reference the board and our county superintendent and then formatting. So we're consistent across all of our policies. That's the most tedious work when it comes to this. Lots of code section changes on this particular bylaw, again, because we were out of date. So a lot of codes have been adopted in the last 20 something years. So this particular policy was lacking a lot of references that are relevant. So bringing it in alignment.
Just a question. Page 2 under item 13 there, it's the paragraph just underneath it. The county board is authorized to establish, carry on, and finance any program activity, blah, blah, blah. Carry on, what does that mean?
That's a great question. So this is in reference to the examples. So...
does it mean so I find
I can
it
look back to the
yeah I
the
find example. It an odd language to be in a policy.
And that could be something we could reference back to the example to find the context and why
okay,
they just
great,
added the word.
Great. And well, I'll mention it later. There's a typo somewhere else, but I'll mention it when you get there.
Is the typo on this?
No, it's the next. It's on a different one. Huh?
Okay.
I'm being really.
9005. That's the next one I have. So if there's no more questions on 9000, we can go on to 9005. This one has minor edits in the big scheme of things, just a few word tweaks here and there. The best part about it is that it was adopted in 2002, and now we're putting our stamp on it that we've reviewed it and updated a few tweaks here and there, and it can be shown as revised in 2023, which is always a good thing to have a trail of looking at our policies and touching them. So I like seeing that instead of having policies that haven't been touched or reviewed in a long time. So very minor tweaks, nothing of substantiation at any of the deals on on this particular one. Is this the one that has the typo, Mike?
No, it's 9130.
Okay. So before we get to the 9130, if you guys don't mind, I'll go sequentially with the numbers in the packet. 9010 is the next one. And again, I'm on the one. Good job, Aurelia. I'm on the one that has the track changes. This one has a lot of edits. And this particular one, there was changes in the law as well related to people from the public coming to speak. They don't have to share their name and who they are. They can just announce the statements. And so it is important that we reference current code when it comes to how we conduct our public meeting and allow the public comments to be made. And so this one brings us in alignment with current code. We were a little bit out of date because we hadn't touched this one since 1997, and the law has been adjusted when it comes to Brown Act public statements being made when you have a public meeting subject to the Brown Act. So this brings us up to current code section and references those code sections as well. In practice, nothing really of significance. Our practice and our culture is following the law, but it's important that our bylaw reflects the law. The next one, moving right along, is 9100. This one reflects how we hold our organizational meeting every December. CSBA example policies also combined a few of the aspects that we had in multiple versions of bylaws. Sometimes they were streamlined in one. So this particular policy in itself identified how we will elect the president, a vice president, authorize signatures, develop the calendar, and so on. So it goes into a lot more detail than we had previously. Again, it's all things that we had in practice. It's nothing new, and it's not out of our ordinary. It just looks different than it used to look, and it's more detailed than what this one used to have. Yes.
Well, I see something here, which we've done somewhat. Number four, develop a county board calendar for the year, stating the time when important governance matters will be addressed. That has been something identified as a best practice by some of the other boards where I think they go a little bit more into detail than what we do, because I think we do the statutory items such as, you know, the revisions and things like that. But I've been talking to other boards where they develop a little bit more detail. And I know some of the conversations we've had recently have asked for more things on a timely basis. So I do think on the organizational meeting, coming up with a more precise calendar, you know, in February, we'll try to do this. In March, we'll try to do that, I think would be a good discussion for the board to have. So I like that it's in here. I'd like it to be a part of the December discussion and maybe look for a little bit more detail.
That's great. And I would offer, thinking through what that might look like practically on a December, we have a lot of items at our December board meetings typically. So maybe we could back up that concept that you're coming up with and maybe work on that in November. Yeah. So then what we bring forward in December to adopt at the organization meeting, maybe we have a draft of what those additional items might be. Because December is a really long meeting when it comes to the organization of the board, and we have first interim. Sometimes we have the audit report ready. It's usually a heavy content night.
That sounds good. Yep.
So if we could back that up, maybe November would be a good time to look in that. Lisa, can you take note of that? Okay, thanks. Okay. Okay, if no other questions on that one, let's go to 9121.
You do have a typo in this one.
9121?
Yeah, that first line. Instead of I think you meant to say amongst instead of amount.
Where is this?
The first sentence.
First sentence. From a mount.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be a monk.
Very good catch.
A mount. Where you go? It could be a mound, like a little small
one hill. Of its members.
Very good catch. Okay, so this particular one is an example of one where it combined a multiple that we had. It was referenced as official duties. That was the subject before. Now the example shows to just call it the president. So the president of the Board of Education has a certain amount of duties. And those are all spelled out. It does not change anything that we do in practice or culture. In fact, we alluded to some of those details to specify what it is that our practice has been. There is a detail that is connected in here that we used to have separately for a board bylaw specifically for the duties of a vice president. Instead, the CSBA example combines that separate policy to being all within this policy because it's very simple. If the board president is not there, the vice president assumes those duties. So it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
But that is a change from our practice. And I believe we are offering, yes, we are offering to delete the prior board policy that defines the duties of the vice president because it's no longer needed. So the language is adjusted. It does match practice, but it doesn't change any significance of what it is that you guys are doing already. The language is somewhat different, and so that's why you will see some of the items completely struck through, and then the new paragraph offered as completely new, because the verbiage and the way it is written is so different than it had been in the past. The last time this one was looked at was in 2011, so it's quite a bit old as far as needing to be updated with language.
Misty, do you know when Gamut updated their county, or is it ongoing? Is it an ongoing effort for the CSBA just to update Gamut as new laws are passed? I believe that's there.
It's ongoing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's ongoing.
Okay, thanks.
And there's certain reasons that triggers on their side a work and look at it. Sometimes it's law. Sometimes it's a different way of providing practice of how things are said. Sometimes it's a reference to language. I know there was a huge effort to remove references to his or her pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
And so that triggered a lot of updates within policies that are provided at the CSBA example level. So there's different reasons why they right. touch their versions.
Right.
So with that one, if we haven't looked at the next one that's related, 9121.5, we are suggesting to delete, and we are leaving a trail to show a potential action of delete. The work that Lisa Bork does, we try to leave a trail so that we can recreate what we did at one point in time. So she came up with a great suggestion of how to create this trail, because if we simply delete the policy, it'll look like, you know, it just fell off the face of the earth. What happened to that thing? We used to have it. And so she does a great job of creating that trail that if we ever need to go back, we would be able to recreate what we did at what point in time. All right, the next one on the list is 9130. And this one is board committees. This is an exciting one. Lots of language updated. Doesn't really change context or authority or any delegation of what it looks like, but it brings us up to date with current language and then defining more of what committees look like and updating the tweaks of the verbiage to match their sample.
Yeah, I'm very proud to point out a typo that I noticed.
Okay, what did you notice?
I make so many typos myself to find them somewhere else. It's great. No, excuse me. I'm not. No. It's last page one, last paragraph, second to last line, a limit termed and changed. I think it should be charged. Huh? Or have I got it wrong?
No, I think you're right.
And charged with accomplishing. Oh, wow. That was
a big one. Thank you.
Second of the last line on page one. So the second of the last sentence should read, an ad hoc committee formed for a limited term and charged with accomplishing a specific task in a short
period of time. Good catch, Mike.
You are always charged up to the meetings.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment.
There is a section of this particular board bylaw. I believe it's right there. No. I need to find it. I'm just going to tell you about it. I don't see the exact language at the moment. Our practice is the delegation of the person who is going to represent the County Board of Education on the county committee, voting for the county committee members, that committee. So we left that language in here, and of course, that's our local practice, and it has nothing to do with the CSBA example. So we made sure not to change that particular line item, and I believe we have it as the board president. Mm-hmm. I don't see that language, but I know it's in there somewhere. Maybe Lisa or Aurelia can remember. Do you remember that sentence, Lisa? It's not standing out to me, but we left that in there, and that's our practice. And of course, we have Dr. Flores, who actually serves on the county committee as the at-large member. We're thankful for his service on that committee. Okay, any questions on that one? We will keep moving right along. 9200 is the next one. And the language in here is a little bit misleading. It did have limits of authority, and so the example policy now says limits of board member authority, but it goes into details about the functions of the county board members, and it clarifies you guys operate as a governing body and not as individuals, and it also talks about the complaint process. And each county board member's role, should there be a complaint. So it's all specific details, and it's a lot of new language for our specific policy. It follows the exact example. This one we haven't touched since 1997, so it didn't surprise me that we had so much language that was not in alignment. And I can only imagine that these items got clarified over the course of the years, and we just didn't add the detail. On a practical basis, I think it just states the obvious and makes it more transparent about the roles of the board members for the purposes of the public. Because in practice, we do everything that it's describing. And the final one in this section is a really exciting one, and it reflects the board action from the prior meeting. And that is the compensation for the board. So board bylaw 9250 provides one tiny little edit to increase the stipend to $312 to reflect the action of last month. Important detail that we have to update.
feeling an obligation to point out a typo. Oh, along with all of my colleagues, I would refer you to 450.
Okay.
And its typo is tactical response plan. It's tactical, just a misspelling.
Is this in the title?
Yes. The last paragraph, on page tactical response, it's tactile, your response plan. Bottom paragraph and page one.
In the final marked up.
Yeah.
Final version, not the marked up one.
Yes. Sorry.
Very good. You guys have eagle eyes.
Just doing our jobs here.
Are there any other questions on this grouping of policies?
I have some, I think I want more time to look over some of the revisions to the board governance standards. And I also want to take a look at GAMET because I think some of the changes there, in essence, I just want to reflect a little bit more on them, if that's okay. So that's something I'm going to move that we do not approve tonight, but that we move this
as a first reading.
Yeah, take this as a first reading.
So would you be open to tabling that one policy but approving the others? Or do you see them all related?
I don't see them all related, but there are two or three. I guess I'm not really clear yet. The two or three I would pull out. I could probably pull out 9,000. 9,005.
Well, what would be simpler for you? Would it be if there's no motion, then this becomes the first reading and mm-hmm. and we approve all of this at our right. next meeting? Mm-hmm. Would that be simpler than picking this one out and picking that one out?
Mm-hmm. Completely up to you.
Yeah, I would say let's make it first reading and then bring it back at the next meeting.
Yeah. Okay. That'll give us a chance to fix our typos, too.
All right. So moving on to L3, approval of revisions and additions to board policy student services.
Dr. Williams.
Good evening, President Kidd, board members. I really want to take a moment before we dive in to this exciting work to acknowledge Michelle Harding, along with a few folks who aren't here tonight, Christina Mahone, Holly Manier, Stephanie Rodriguez, along with the other student services administrators, have been carving out time over the last month to ensure that we weren't just mirroring the template provided by CSBA, but they were all making meaning of what exactly this means in the different settings in our VCOE schools and programs. So the team has worked diligently to follow the process that Misty just described to us with the board policies that and ARs that she presented. We did utilize the CSBA template that we really appreciate because it really reflects all of the legislative updates. And for this month specifically, the team updated 5 existing board policies and 1 existing AR. We added 1 board policy and 2 ARs, and 2 of the ARs of the administrative regulations were deleted. I will take some time to review one by one, if that's your preference, if I may. Thank you. So the first one that we have on deck is board policy 5131. This board policy was last revised in 2012, and the updated language now aligns with the other board policies and regulations to reflect legislative updates. 5131, which existed, however, had last been updated in 2003, was deleted. And the reason that this was deleted is because the language in our other board policies, such as our discipline policy, already contains this information. And in addition to that, CSPA doesn't have a recommended template. So we want to make sure that we're truly mirroring that process. As far as 5131.41, this is the new administrative regulation for the use of seclusion and restraint. This was added to ensure appropriate use of seclusion and restraint and to address reporting requirements. Although this is a new AR, one of the things that could give each and every one of us peace of mind is that as a County Office of Education, we have facilitated NCPI training annually. And the NCPI training aligns with this requirement, and it happens annually for all of our staff. And when we say staff, it's not only the teachers, it's not only the administrators, but it's also our bus drivers who spend a lot of time with our students before and after school, our nutrition staff, all of our classified staff, all of our para educators. So we have been in compliance far before this was ever a recommended template for us. The next DP is 5144.1. And this one, I want to really draw your attention to, because if you look at the CSBA, if you happen to look at the CSBA template over the last week, you will have noticed that there was a minor difference in comparison. And the difference is that as a County Office of Ed, we do not expel students. And so you will see that that language is omitted in our county office draft. Other than that, everything else mirrors the template. And this was last revised in 2013. So you could see that it was long overdue. As far as 5144.1, the AR, we wanted to ensure the applicability to VCOE schools and programs, similar to what, I mean, it's the how for the what of the BP. And that one was last revised in 1997. So it was long overdue. We then have 5145.9. This is an update on hate-motivated behavior. The last time we touched this was 11 years ago, and it includes the requirement to post on our website. And one of the advantages of having been through the FPM process back in 2008, we had already started posting the requirements for reporting any said behavior. 5145.9, which is the administrative regulation that would have been connected to that board policy, was deleted. And the reason this was deleted is because CSBA incorporated all of the necessary components of the AR into the BP, and our investigative process is the uniform complaint procedure. Moving along to 6146.1, This is a very familiar one to you because we just looked at this last year. However, there were some updates that went through recently that really talks about the exemption to VCOE established course requirements for high school graduation. Specifically, the coursework requirements to include the descriptions of certain coursework, rather than just listing out like what we had typically seen where it just looked like an outline, it's explaining the coursework. And it also includes language to reflect the rights of students in juvenile court schools. We're almost there. Two more. We have 6146.4. This is the graduation and competency standards for students with disabilities. So it now reflects the exemption to VCOE established course requirements for high school graduation. And this is not similar to any cases that we've ever experienced in the past. The AR connected, 6164 is EP and AR. It is the identification and education under section 504. And this addresses our obligation to identify children with disabilities in order to ensure that they receive educational and related services by law. And so it clearly outlines who our 504 officer is as a county office of education. And the impartial hearing process. So you could see that there's been a lot of revisions to ensure that we're aligned. The formatting that you see is exactly as was outlined in the previous bundle that we just reviewed. So if there aren't any questions, administration would like to recommend waiting the second reading just to ensure that these that are connected, which are connected to our annual notifications, are posted and good to go.
Any questions from the board?
I have one question. It's more, I'm just curious that this new regulation basically specifies that whoever was doing the hearing checks had to be independent of the county office of education. And I'm wondering what was there some, obviously there's a reason that language was put in. And I was curious what that was.
Been privy to those conversations, I'm assuming that it has to do with ensuring that we are in being impartial in the process.
I'm just wondering what the partiality would have been. I mean, because we used to have more audiologists employed by the county that would go to all the different schools, but we don't do that. It's not that structure anymore. And I just can't imagine where partiality would come in.
Thank you for elaborating. I could take a deeper dive now into your question. So one of the things that we want to do is ensure that we're building capacity with all of our districts. So while we still offer all of the support, the technical support, we've been encouraging all of our districts to build that capacity. So our lead nurse, Carmen Rosenberg? Supports the designated individual in every district, and it really alleviates the burden off of a family from having to travel all the way out here, and they're able to also provide that service within their local district. Does that answer your question?
I still don't quite understand the need to explain that they stay impartial. But
any other questions from the board? Is there a motion from the board?
I move to approve.
We have a motion by Dr. Lizagor, second by Trustee Teasdale. All those in favor of approving L3, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstention? Motion passes. Moving on to board member comments. Start to my right with Trustee Ulrich.
I have no comments.
Yeah, just a thank you to the staff for all the work on policy and administrative rules, because I imagine it's not the most the first thing you'd like to do when you get up in the morning. And so it's very detailed, meticulous work. So thank you for all your work on that.
I'm looking forward to being principal for a day in October. I'm going to turn things around.
Be kind.
Dr. Flores?
I just want to echo Trustee Teasdale's comments. As someone who sits on CCB's bylaws committee, who does wake up in the morning looking at these things, I definitely want to thank staff. This is an awful lot of detail. And please don't take the comment about the typos and anything other than positive. We are reading these things. We are paying attention. So just really appreciate all the hard work that goes into these things. It is a lot of detail.
Yeah, I just echo that. I know it's a lot of work to go through all those, and it's not the most exciting thing, I'm sure, either, to look through all the different policies, but it's very necessary. So I want to thank staff for that also. Coming up for future agenda items, you already have down two future agenda items, student board member discussion. And I know there's been a change in the law, I believe, around that too. So maybe that could be part of that future discussion. And continued conversation about live streaming, potentially. Any other future agenda items on the board? No? Okay, hearing none, then the coming up, our next meeting will be on Monday, October 23rd, 2023, November 18th, 2023, and December 11th, which I believe is also our reorganization meeting coming up in December. So unless there's anything else on the board, I'm going to go ahead during the meeting.
Hammer that with authority.
They look at some policies, they better be
up all day.
You know, yeah, it's not just a trend.